Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. It's your host, Chris, Brandon, Phenom, and Ro here. We're here to review Bumblebee. There have been five other Transformers films, so I'm not gonna lie. Going into this film, the bar was extra low because there's been five other fucking films with this Transformers. But we did get a new director here. We got Travis Knight, and he was saying all the right things. We got a good cast. We got somebody who's not going to, objectify women in every fucking shot they do with, like Michael Bay was doing with, Megan Fox? And then I can't remember who she replaced her with in the later films. But we got a new director. And so I'm going to ask everybody else what they thought of this film.
Bro can go. That rhymes.
I don't know how I feel about this film. I was happy, sad, and disappointed, and not all at the same time, if that makes any sense.
It actually makes perfect sense.
I'm confused. So wait, like you felt all those emotions while watching it? So that means you were entertained emotionally? Or are you saying that sometimes I felt good about it, other times I felt sad that it isn't what I wanted it to be and I'm a little disappointed? I'm confused.
Both. You can just make that a holistical and you have everything. There are parts of this movie where I was watching it analytically, and I don't like that when I'm watching, especially what's supposed to be a big, you know, action movie. If I can pull completely back from your story and everything happening on the screen, I'm working. but the opening sequence, I absolutely adored the opening sequence. I was actually sad when it switched to the live action. I liked some of the hat tips they did to the cartoon movies. That made me really happy. But this was not the storyline I was expecting from Bumblebee. I have deep and abiding feelings about some of the retconning they did from the known universe they've already created. And
I think we're supposed to forget the known universe that they created and say, which is, I think, is the weird thing that they're pulling a fucking Fox. Let's just say it. They're doing a Fox's X-Men. Where
they are, they're and doing, I was not appreciative.
They're doing,
and why
doing
the first hell? Class. Why does this movie have to be set in 1987?
Well, because they're doing a first class. Let's just say what they're doing. They're doing a first class where they're like, well, we're going to kind of make it like a prequel or a reboot, but we're not going to really tell you what it is until we find out what the reaction from everybody else is, and then we'll decide what we're going to do. Because yeah, it's like, well, if you don't take in the thing, if you look at it as a prequel, you can kind of go down one path of your feelings in the movie. If you look at it like it's a complete reboot, it's a little bit better. But then you start asking questions, and then why'd you go down certain paths with Bumblebee? Why'd you go down the whole he can't talk and he can't the whole tape? Like, why'd you do that again? Why do we rehash the stuff that if you're gonna do a complete reboot, like? It's just,
I mean, they cherry picked between, okay, look, Michael Bay has problems. His scriptwriters have his problems. He has an editing problem. He has a Bayham problem. Michael Bay is a problem. But one of the things that was interesting about the stories and the histories he was giving was what he did with Bumblebee. And, you know, they had a whole lot of silent foreshadowing of things we may find out about Bumblebee. And even in the cartoon and in the movies, the person who came to Earth was here a lot longer before the other people got here. So I just really felt like when they were cherry picking between the things that they were going to keep to give us an origin of Bumblebee and a clean slate for them to go back to the world of Transformers, I was really disappointed with a lot of the things that they chose. And you're right. They pulled a first class and I drank a lot after first class. So, you know, I don't currently have any wine in my house and not enough edibles for them to be messing with me and one of my favorite characters like this. It's just, Bumblebee was one of the few people who was unapologetically badass when it came to the fighting. And how many fight sequences did we get with Bumblebee in this movie?
In this?
Yeah.
You get like four or five.
Right. So they turned it into like levels in a video game with a boss fight, and I was not impressed with the boss fight. We can put that out there. But I just really felt like, I know they were going for a more simplistic story. There are a lot of elements that I really liked about this. I know that they, you know, the whole, I think they kept the whole not being able to talk because that's one of the more identifiable characters. It also fits in with the things Hasbro has already done for toys. And I don't think they're trying to mess with their toy money. Let's be real. But this whole, why did he have to be such a punk for so much of the movie? Why were all the jokes dependent on him being so damn soft?
Oh, you didn't like the amnesia storyline where you have to basically go, where you start the movie where he's actually, oh wow, he's actually a badass, and then you completely wipe that away so that he's just a punk for like 90% of the movie? You didn't like that?
Well,
you didn't
like one, that? No, I didn't appreciate that. But two, why did they automatically assume that you just because you get your memory wiped, you turn into a bitch? I mean,
he was scared and he was
whatever. New. I have been scared and still windmilled on motherfuckers. So, I mean, first of all, I had to stop using that word so much. I listened to one of my reviews. I dropped MF a lot and y'all don't even say nothing. That's not okay.
I thought we were just supporting you. I thought we were just, I thought that's what we were.
Okay. You were very supportive of my profanity addiction.
Yeah, I thought we were being supportive co-hosts. I mean,
y'all don't allow me to say motherfucker. Y'all won't stop.
Can't stop me.
Right. If we as two black men told you couldn't say motherfucker, then we'd be two black men.
I'd be coming in your house apologizing to your wife because I burnt shit, like, you know, your car. And, you know. Chris, you just bought your house. I'm not going to burn your house down, but I might like steal half your collection of out your room of fun. You try to tell me what to do. I'm going to rob you. But back to the movie. I just really felt like there were two. Okay, they made this girl have an amazing skill set for cars and mechanics, and then they didn't really have her do anything innovative. She kept saying, I can fix it. I can fix it. But they never really.
They didn't. So, like, that's my issue with the film. One, I am a Hailee Steinfeld fanboy, so that is just off the bat.
Shocking.
Yeah, off the bat. My issue with it was they started off with her being like this very, I hate the term tomboyish, but she's, I guess, like she has a no fucks given attitude. Like, and I appreciated that. And then she was a mechanic and she was a badass mechanic, and I appreciated that. What I was hoping that they were going to do with her character was she gets into the whole technology and learning about Transformers and stays with them as kind of like, I guess, the guy in the chair who fixed them. That's what I thought they were going for. But
I thought she was going to be their cue.
Right. And once they get towards the end of the movie, you see what happens. I remember when me and Chris was walking out, I was like, why is this happening? Like, this isn't necessary. And with the explanation that they've been given for Bumblebee's purpose on this planet, what is the point? And I don't want to spoil it, right? I don't want to say what happens. I'm just kind of like, why are we doing this when we know there's going to be another movie and we know what's probably going to happen in the beginning to continue this story, this whole... I'm trying so hard not to spoil this shit, but the whole way they ended it was like cute. It was very children's television.
It's 80s.
It was, and it was completely unnecessary. It was like I Travis Knight. I love Kubo and the Two Strings. I love what they did with the fight scenes. I love the fact that I can actually see the faces of the fucking Transformers in this, and I can see when they talk. Like, they are legit people and beings in this film.
Yeah, I did like how they all had personalities and the CGI was really good and the movement and all of those were really good.
It was immaculate. Like, for Transformers film, it was immaculate. So I'm like all into this story, and then they kind of give us this very family friendly, cute story. Like, Kubo and the Two Strings goes harder than Transformers. Like, there are spots in Kubo where it gets really fucking dark and sinister, and I'm like, holy shit, is this a kids movie? This is like, I'm terrified.
But that's
the part. Transformers, it doesn't really, and Bumblebee, that doesn't really happen like that. Like, there's a menacing threat with the two bounty hunter Decepticons that are coming for him, which I love the lead of, I guess, I don't know if they have sexes as far as Decepticons do.
You know who that was, right?
The female.
You know who voiced that, right?
Who?
Angela Bassett.
Oh, that's fine. That's cool.
She was so amazing. Yeah. Right.
I appreciated that. I thought those two characters were funny. Like, she was the commander and the little dude on the side was basically like her hunting dog. It, he just he was like a mad dog from the Raider, from the Raid films. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the way they went about showing their type of devastation and the way they could easily wipe out humanity and kind of turn it into a funny, like they were literally turning humans into dish soap. So that's cool. I appreciated all of that. I don't particularly have a problem with the story of Bumblebee and the main character outside of the fact that it's not anything new.
We've seen it before. We literally have seen this before. That's the thing. We have literally seen this story before.
And it's not really deep. And I honestly, I think they wasted some talent here. I think they overused some talent. Like, they depended too hard on the relationship between her and Bumblebee and this training my dog to be... basically training my dog is what it was. Like, Pam... Pamela, is it Olden? Or her the woman that played her mother?
Yeah.
Is, in my opinion, has one of the most slept on shows on FX. And two, is can be really fucking funny, especially when she has daughters in her, in any of the entertainment stuff she does. That's what her whole show is based around. I think it's Better Days or something like that. So when I see her in this film, I'm kind of like, oh, they kind of made her annoyingly dim with it and not even really overbearing, just kind of aloof.
None of the other characters. Well, the problem
her,
is none
they
of the,
made her a weird, typical 80s kind of divorcee mom.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And somebody said this to me when I was talking about it on Twitter, and I was like, actually, that's good, both good and bad. They were like, it's a very 80s movie. And I'm like, you know what? And that's, it really is a very 80s movie. And that comes with all the good things and all the bad things. There's some good things that are 80s for it, but also bad things in the fact that it's a bad 80s movie in that only Charlie, which is, you know, Seinfeld's character, is developed. None of the other human characters are developed. And when you have a film that is, again, it's still a Transformers film, it's a Transformers film, and they do better job with the CG and the way the Transformers look and seeing the fight scenes, we get to see Cybertron and all that stuff, it is still a film that is 80% human. And when you have an 80% human film and none of your other human characters matter for shit, I just can't get into it. I don't know why was that in there?
Like, you know, shout out to the black kid. He got acting. He got in a big film. Like, I'm happy for him in his afro. They did very basic development on his character just to continue to show you that he is weird and quirky. But we're also going to take his shirt off to show you that somehow he also stays physically fit while being a film.
While eating churros.
Yeah. And working at the amusement park. So amusing, get it? But they didn't need it. They absolutely didn't need it. I was like, here we go. And you know what my favorite part of this movie is? The part at the end where he tries to grab her hand and she was like, not there yet. And I was like, thank you, because y'all literally been hanging out for like 2 days and these movies constantly are trying to fast forward us through relationships that people develop on screen. And after watching Mortal Engines, where they literally spent 14 fucking love, I was not ready 5 days later to follow that up with another rushed love story of just of nonsense.
But they might as well have. They rushed everything else. I mean, nothing else mattered.
I think that was just kind of their ironic, you know, wink and a nod to the Hughes Fume phenomenon of the, you know, 2 days and we're in love and we're changing where we're going to college to be together forever. I thought that was funny. I don't really think it's a spoiler. I mean, it's not the culmination of anything. It's just one of those throwaway scenes at the end that's for one more laugh before it fades to black. But even earlier in the story, when you were talking about the development, like, I think I really feel like they didn't just rely. They relied way too much on John Cena.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And I really feel like if we were going to have the element and we bring in the military and we bring in the government, and it wasn't going to be because we got the story of how Bumblebee got here and he actually ended up fighting with our forces, which I'm not going to lie, I was super excited that they might actually keep some of the elements that were from the pictures of Bumblebee in the past on Earth and use that as where we found out he came in. So yes, I was super disappointed that they set this movie in 1987. But the other reason why I was disappointed that they set this movie in 1987 is exactly the stuff that the two of you guys are complaining about right now. You only get one female protagonist who gets to be fully developed. And there's a relationship between her and her mother that needed to be explored, because it they did that whole, she used to be such a light and happy girl, and then ... the movie picks up, and you know, you have that moment of where, you know, she's not really coping well and suffering through loss, and she's withdrawn. But we don't really get any of that in the development. And then later it makes things that happen between her and her mother. They were trying to go for that big, huge emotional blow up, and you've kind of disconnected because they don't really give you that much of her family except for these little surface scenes that, quite frankly, they were going for laughs with. So you can't say that they were trying to do character and emotional development.
I mean, like, her mother, there was not a moment where you felt that her mother fully understood the pain that Charlie was going through, which I find insanely ridiculous, because that woman lost her husband. And it's not even that she lost her husband, what seems to me, if we're doing a time scale, like maybe even over 16 months or 18 months ago.
But we don't know. We don't know how long ago.
We don't know.
You're right. They never mentioned. They never mentioned how long it is.
I get that they don't tell us. I'm gauging it off just the video and how old Charlie is when we see that video of her diving, right? I'm just kind of like, she's kind of like the same age in that video that she is right now. So
no, she wasn't. I mean, the actress is, but she has one of those faces that she doesn't really look like she's that old regardless. And, you know, she has reached a certain level of maturity. So I don't really care how much you pull and strap in, you put her in a swimsuit, she gonna look a little grown. But we don't know how long Charlie's family has changed form. We don't know how long her mom and her have had this disconnect between them. And that's what I mean. I was like, we don't really have any timeline for how far into their relationship do we drop in. Because I sincerely doubt, since they went so hard to try to make a family movie, that they thought people wouldn't notice that they were saying the main character's father has died and it's caused her to have a deep and emotional shift in her personality. But mom's is over here with a new dude just canoodling in the kitchen in front of her kids. I really don't think that they went for the whole, you know, get over a man by getting under a new one theme.
Can we be honest here? This film, and again, Travis Knight is a good director. He's really passionate about Transformers. Obviously, he went with the G1 designs. I think that's what sold. That's going to sell a lot of people. And I think that is what they went for. The rest of the movie is an afterthought. They put some effort into the Cybertron shots they do, the fight scenes with Bumblebee, and I feel like this was a starter movie. This was if this succeeds, then we'll give you the rest of the films and we'll give you the budget you need and we'll let you do the things you need to do. But for now, we'll give you four set pieces with you know, multiple Transformers on screen, so you can kind of draw people in. The story will be as basic as possible, and we'll keep it simple, stupid. Like, I feel like that's what this entire film is, because
that's a problem on a much bigger scale, because that falls into the YA trap that we were talking about last week of this. Make your first film decent, and then we'll give you the space to make better products.
But that's clearly what they did here.
I don't understand why anybody is still following that stupid ass model.
Because it still makes money.
Yeah, that's going to work with Bumblebee.
This is a really simple storyline. It's a cute movie. They've got enough hat tips to hold the adults, and the kids are really going to like this, especially because they went Gen 1 and they've got the bug back. And he's cute and he's adorable. But
why would you do that? Okay, so it's from two angles, though. Why would you bare bones him for this when you've already got five films before this that all were cash in the bank?
Like, because they weren't all cash in the bank.
My thing is, like, why don't you, if you already know, if we put out shit, people pay for it. I'm not saying that this film is shit, but I'm saying in general, the last four Transformer films have been shit. So if your whole idea around this is, well, it doesn't matter what we put out, everybody's going to pay to see it anyway. Look at what we've been doing the last 10 years. We've been doing shit. and people have been paying more for it every year. If that's the case, then why don't you just go, hey, Travis, we really don't care what you do, bro. Like, if you want to have like 2 hours of just fighting, be our fucking guest, because it really doesn't matter. We're going to make bank. We always do. That same ideology that can be used for the, well, we'll just give them bare bones, decent bullshit, and they'll love it because they always do, also flies in his favor for the, hey, man, here's as much rope as you want. And if you need, we'll run the dicks and grab more rope, because we're going to make bank regardless.
It's weird.
I don't believe they think for some of the standalone character movies that they're pulling out that they're automatically going to make bank. I think that they're leaning into the fact that if they at least give people a cute, decent Bumblebee movie, they'll keep coming back for more Transformer movies, because let's be real, everybody said there was entirely too much in the last Transformer movies and it was just too cluttered and they were ready to check out. So they're dialing all the way back and they're keeping this storyline really simple. I don't have a problem with the simple storyline. I have a problem with the beats they decided to emphasize. So because for me to have to sit in a movie, I had a girl behind me who was like, when is he going to punch somebody? Sure. I mean, Bumblebee. I was like, Bumblebee's got a knife. How come I ain't seen his knife? And I was like, see, this child is my people. She was like, she's like, why is he acting like he's a puppy? But we're no longer the people who they are trying to bring into these movies. Hasbro is doing that thing that they do. And they have a demographic in mind and we're not it. So cute, solid storytelling with relatable, identifiable people, but bigger issues that are implied that older audiences can maybe you sit around like we're doing now and ruminate over and question. They're all for it. So in that sense, he was really smart.
Well, it's going to work because, again, the beginning.
I just expected more because who he is, how much he loves Transformers. And quite frankly, the opening.
Yeah.
It was just so damn good. It was so dope. I was like, okay, I'm in. And as soon as it switched to live action, I was like, damn it.
The opening 15 minutes of this film is dope.
Colin is staying in the seat for this. Yeah. That's how he's getting this 90-something percent rating and approval out of this film. That whole Cybertron opening scene is what fans have been fucking begging for years. Mm-hmm. And he comes to you in the very fucking beginning, and then he does some Man of Steel Superman and shit and sends your ass to Earth to wait for more fights to come.
But that's the other thing. I would even say it's beyond just the Cybertron thing. Even when Bumblebee gets down to Earth, there's some decent stuff there because, again, slight spoiler. We're going to do another spoiler review later on when Daniel sees this. But, like, slight spoiler review here. You actually do get Bumblebee's voice. You see why Bumblebee lost his voice. And so you get a pretty decent fight when you get down to Earth, too. And then that's when once that happens, then all of a sudden, everything is neutered. You get Bumblebee now.
That's why I was confused. I was like, oh, they're really going to do it. They're taking us from Cybertron and how he got to Earth. Mm-hmm. I'm sad at the decade they picked, but I'll get over it. Because it's not a spoiler to say that you get to hear him speak, because they've said that before, that you'll hear him speak. Okay.
It really isn't a spoiler at all.
You said what now?
Right. I mean, Dylan O'Brien is doing the voice. So
Again, here's how much I didn't give a shit about this film. I was like, oh, they're doing, okay, whatever. I literally paid nothing attention to anything they did. It wasn't until that first trailer where I saw some of the G1 designs that I was like, I started listening to what Travis Knight was saying, because I was like, I don't trust these motherfuckers with this shit. You've been five films in and now you're going to try to do something right? No, I don't believe you.
They said Travis Knight was doing it and I was like, okay, I'm not looking at anything because I know he digs Transformers. I've seen his animated work. He knows how to put beats into a story. I'm going to let him do what he do. And I stopped looking. And then I would look to see who was in the movie. And I was like, okay, this could all work. So for me, it really truly was. Okay, they got a simple story. They're trying to go for that emotional element because everybody feels like you need to have more emotion in live action and then animate it and made Spider-Verse break some of that habit in A-Man. So they leaned a little bit away. And I was like, I just didn't understand the disconnect from once they had after the opening sequence and the first fight scene on Earth, you know, all the things that they set up there that just were just begging to be gone somewhere, that they did such an abrupt left to introduce Charlie. And then I was like, okay, I get it. And then you start to get a feel for what kind of girl she is. And that's when you get some of the really good soundtrack and score moments. When they kind of anchor it and they give you that attitude where, you know, she's two steps off Pat Benatar or Joan Jett, you know, they had a love child and you're okay with it. And then you're like, oh, she got it. You know, her family dynamics fucked up. Okay. But it's not like the, whole, you know, dirty secret in the past messed up. So you're like, okay, you can deal with this. And you can even work with all the, okay, you know, they want to have Memo in the movie for like some more comedic beats. And plus, let's be real, she's a senior in high school. The reality of the situation is it's very, very unlikely that she's going to be able to pull off some of the things that she's doing by herself. So if they have to give her a running partner, I didn't have a problem with him being it. And I didn't feel like they overstressed the whole romance element. I felt like they made him a little bit too much of a bumbler, but whatever.
I thought all of this was unnecessary. Like, that whole story plot was unnecessary. And in a film where we're talking about Transformers, they can literally make Charlie do whatever the fuck they want to. We're talking about Transformers coming from a planet called Cybertron.
I really felt like we should have gotten more Shatter and Dropkick. I didn't like the fact, this isn't necessarily a spoiler, but I didn't like the fact that when it came to her coming to realize that he was a Transformer, how very much she didn't investigate that he was a Transformer.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, like, it's a thing.
Your robot, your car turned into a robot. Clearly something's wrong with you. You're not taking things apart and looking inside if you're a mechanic.
But that's the thing.
That they needed that wonder that children are supposed to get from him changing into a Transformer from a car, which, again, I find ironic.
Kids like to take shit apart. So they could have gotten their wonder and still had her be a badass mechanic.
I'm just saying that they're trying to repeat the whole Jurassic Park thing with the first time they see the Brontosaurus every time they come back to the island. And it's supposed to be amazing.
I personally feel like they didn't have her do it because it changes the storyline. If she starts to figure out what he is as a Transformer, you get to the scenes where you're finding out why he's there, what his purpose, and what's wrong with him. And if she really is as badass as she is and she can fix him, the rest of this movie is moot. It has to go to a much darker place, and I think that's what they didn't want to do.
Perspective for what? Like, why didn't they finally just go from the Transformers' perspective of having to operate on Earth? And like, you have the if you're going to do a reboot, if we're going to retro this shit in whatever fashion they're doing now, retcon this shit in whatever fucking fashion they're doing it, then finally take the time to do this from the perspective of the Transformer. You open up the film from the perspective of the Transformer, the main character. It's named Bumblebee. It's not named Bumblebee and Me.
Not named Charlie.
I mean, either one of those, like,
because they don't like it when humans seem like they're the pet.
Well, because honestly, you know what I got at one point in this film? It turns into like E.T. almost.
He is E.T., dog. That is that
whole thing. Because it drives me crazy because I'm just like, that's why I'm looking at these reviews. I'm looking at people that are really excited about this. And I don't mean to be like the downer on this, but it's just like, this is not the film I wanted. When you tell me you're gonna do a Bumblebee film and you're telling me we're gonna change what you think, and then you literally if you really think about this, if you go back to that first Transformers film that Michael Bay did, all they did in this film in Bumblebee is you just put more Bumblebee in it, and it's the same thing. He acts the same way. He still can't talk. It's everything that's there is in this film. It's just you actually get less Transformers, to be perfectly honest.
You want to know what I think is ironic? Everybody is making excuses about exactly what you're talking about. All they did is supplant some characters around and kind of restart at the beginning with a clean slate with the same stuff. But people are real mad that Mary Poppins Return feels familiar to Mary Poppins when you side by side them. So I think it's ironic.
Because and that's that whole older critics bullshit that now you're touching their past. Transformers isn't their past. Their child star. That isn't an old Disney show movie that they grew up on or that they remember seeing when they were a particular age because they old as shit. So now you're touching their shit. And it doesn't matter how well they do Mary Poppins, they're going to be like, a lot of them are going to walk into the theater going, why are we doing this at all?
No, I just meant in the parallel that you just drew. Like, you put this movie against the first Transformer movies, you change a couple of beats and you change out a couple of people and you have movies that move in pace to each other, almost scene to scene. Cinematic feel is different, but scene to scene is the same.
Yeah,
you turn right around and these same critics are trying to go hard for Mary Poppins Returns not moving outside of the framework of Mary Poppins in the exact same type of way. So,
I'm just saying,
I think you're gonna. I think you're just. I don't necessarily think. I mean, they're both my childhood. I mean, how old do you think I am?
I don't know how old you are, but if you ain't 60-something years old,
I'm not 60-something. Right. I'm nowhere near 60. Right. Okay. But I don't even think it's just an old critics problem, because I've heard this from people who are not old critics. I think it's the difference of the conceit of what you think, like you were saying, with the property, what the property is, and people want the Transformers to be a kids movie that adults can enjoy. Mm-hmm. The studios want the Transformers with the new beginning of Bumblebee to be something that grows up with a whole new batch of kids.
Here's my thing.
And I think that's how we got the story.
I'm not a huge Transformer person, so it was easy for me to walk away from the Michael Bay films going like, okay, no, I'm done. I'm not paying for this shit. Coming to this but film, I literally had no...
Love the Transformers film? Hmm? Like, you don't love it, sir? You don't want to hug it to sleep in.
But no, I mean, having seen that again, having seen that movie again, it's still the best Transformers movie they've ever done. And you wonder why? Because also just a Transformers film. There's no humans really in it. But that goes back to my thing. It's like, I didn't really care about the movie. So if they fucked this up, I'm like, okay. My reintroduction to Transformers has been reading More Than Meets the Eye with Deepam introduced me to More Than Meets the Eye and the stuff that James Roberts been writing with Lost Light and things like that. And again, in all of that stuff, no real humans. So it's like when that's what I'm coming from, actually reading and seeing how interesting the Transformers can be, and that come in this film, when you start the film off in this first 15 minutes going, okay, shit, we're gonna do it. Okay, you know what? I was wrong, they're gonna do this. And then immediately when you cut to the human stuff, when you cut to Charlie and them, and I immediately lose my interest going, I don't give a shit about any of this.
That's your fault. Because when they opened that Cybertron shit, I was like,
No. I knew they weren't going to. I knew they were going to eventually. I knew what this was going to be. I knew they were going to eventually do it. But it's still one of those. I was shocked by how little I gave a fuck. Because again, they only build out Charlie. So it's not even like they do this thing where they try to at least keep you interested. I'll be honest. If we were going to be real for real here, the human stuff and the Michael Bay stuff at least kept you interested in that first film. It was way more. You build up more than just the lead character. You had other people there that you actually. They did more with the family. They did more with
they did half-ass underdevelopment of characters in the Michael Bay film. So.
I'm talking about the first film. Just the first one. Not the rest of that shit. Just the first one. He did.
You got to spread that out, bro. Because when did the first Transformer come out? 2000 what?
7, I think.
2007. That's 11 years ago. So we've had 4 films since then.
I'm not counting those. I'm just comparing it to the first. Because that's the first film with the one that has the beats like this one. Forget those other films. That first film has the same beats as this film. It just does. As we already talked about that. So I'm like, if you're going to do that, fine. All right, cool. Then why do you only have one lead character that anybody gives a fuck about? You bring in Mimo, which you could have literally left him out, and then do the stuff we were talking about with her and her mother. They don't do that.
I'm sorry. Did you just call him Mimo?
No.
I don't know if you called him Mimo. I think they did.
That's his fucking name. It's Mimo or it Memo. It's like, Mimo. I'm not even fucking lying.
No, I get it. It just dawned on me that, yeah, my mind automatically said his name is Memo and moved on
They barely said his fucking name.
It's a nickname for Guillermo. I'm moving on. But you're right. They called him Mimo.
It was Mimo in the film. So it's like, you don't care about any of that. You don't care about any other characters. You don't care about her family, even though you should, because there's actually some shit going on there. They don't build any of that shit out. They spent all that
attention. But they think they did. I'm telling you, they think they did. They think you gave enough to hold on to and you're supposed to care. They think they did. They think they did enough.
And I think
they think they did enough.
I think they did exactly what y'all have been asking for. This is like when you tell your kid to go do something, and in your mind, you know how you wanted them to go do it. You're fucking kid.
They didn't do nothing I asked for. I asked for a movie with no humans.
They're gonna go do that shit the way a kid who doesn't want to do that shit does that shit. So when we were like, it's too many humans in the Transformers films, it's like y'all need to do more with Transformers. They heard, oh, it's too many humans. Okay, cool. We're not going to develop any more characters. We'll just develop.
Oh my God, you're right.
The Bumblebee. I'm telling you, that's exactly what happened. And so, they were like, why waste any more? Fine, y'all don't want us to build stories for humans. You want us to just talk about Transformers and maybe a human and a half? We can definitely do that. Here's Charlie. Here's a nigga named Nemo. And they're going to spend a whole lot of time with Bumblebee, who's going to transform more times than you need to count. The beach scene alone, I think he transforms more times than he's ever transformed throughout the whole series.
I didn't have a problem with any of that. I had a problem with the fact that they didn't do anything about why he was on Earth.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that, though. Like you say, you don't have a problem with the beach scene or just the... Because I don't have a problem with the...
No, I don't have a problem with how often he transformed. I had a problem with the beach scene because I didn't really appreciate her playing fetch with a badass killing machine just because he had amnesia.
Well, you didn't like them treating him like Fido? You didn't like him treating like O Yeller and he's out there fetching sticks and just because...
No, I don't generally tend to like anything where people want people to step and fetch. So, no.
If they could have put Bumblebee in her bike basket, they absolutely would have.
Probably. They really would. I get what you're saying. They're like, okay, everybody didn't like... I mean, the Michael Bay movies were full of too much.
Yeah.
Just too much in general. It wasn't that it was too much humans or not enough Transformers or too much fights or too big or, you know, they were too high and decided we needed to go to, robot heaven. I didn't have a problem with none of that. It was just, they didn't know what the hell they were doing after a while. They're like, you know, we still got money. So let's break something else.
Like when you said it was too much, I don't think it was that it was not too much of anything. I think it was absolutely too much of a bunch of shit and too much of everything.
I didn't say it was stuff that should be together. I mean, it's literally across the board. If they had an idea, they put it in the movie. But in this, they went so far in the opposite direction that they ran from things that worked for Bumblebee. And that's why I'm disappointed. This is a cute movie. I didn't want a cute movie for Bumblebee. Bumblebee is a badass. I was really hoping we would get the movie about Bumblebee comes to Earth and starts to, you know, set things up. So the rest can join him. You know, that's what was supposed to be.
He had to lose his voice.
Okay, and his memory.
He had to lose his memory.
And his spine.
That's the thing that get me. It's like, why did he have to lose his memory? Like, why would you do that? Like, they never...
The big friendly giant was scarier than Bumblebee.
It just doesn't make any sense. It just... Like I said, again, I think some people are going to enjoy this. They're going to be fine with it because they're going to get the scenes they want. And that's going to be good enough. And I'm saving this rant from when we do Aquaman. But at what point is just good enough going to be enough?
I think you're asking the wrong question, bro. Because we need to clarify too. Like, people about this film that has a 93-94% rating on Rotten Tomatoes right now. We need to just... I'm just going to go ahead and lay this down now. We are the outliers. Like, we're the ones who did not pay. I know I didn't. Ro, I don't know if you did. I don't know if you did, Ro.
Pay for this?
I know Chris and I did not pay to see two, maybe three Transformer films.
Fuck.
I've never paid to see a Transformer movie.
Oh, you lucky.
Ever.
So we're not...
They have never gotten my coins. I've seen them all.
We never
paid them a dime.
Right? We're not the people that are trying to sell the movie to. So, like, when both of y'all are like, this isn't what I wanted from a Transformers film, I'm kind of the oddball out here in that retrospect, because I have no expectations whatsoever or want or desire from a Transformers film. I'm just going to see it and going, did I want to punch my eyes out while watching it? And was it like, literally, did I feel like an old critic watching it going, it's too much shit happening for me to pay attention to, which is stuff that they say about films like Civil War and shit, which I think is complete bullshit. But in a Transformers film, I think it's absolutely appropriate and very probable. Here, I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, one, I'm noticing that niggas who've been complaining about the Transformer films since 2007 are still paying to see Transformer films. So everybody's saying that they're like, oh, I'm done with Transformers. They're lying. It's the same way that they be like, I'm done with X-Men or I'm done with DCEU. They're not. They're going to pay and go see them the first week or, Lord knows, 2 weeks in advance if the possibility come up. And they absolutely did this time. This movie was making money overseas out the bank from the gate, and they had pre-sale tickets sold out for people to go check it out early so they could give you their early reviews of if it was worth seeing or not to a bunch of people who were going to go fucking see it regardless if the last five films were terrible. We're just not the audience that they're trying to tap with this film you guys are probably not going to get the Transformers film that you want to get. Like, once they reboot it this way and they're kind of doing the same shit again, you're not going to get it.
Oh, no, I've given up. I've given up on them even coming close. But, I mean, at this point, I just want them to give me more sequences like they did on Cybertron in their movies. I don't care. If the flashback sequences look like the sequences in this movie, then I'm fine. I've given up completely and utterly on getting anything close to the kind of Transformer movie that I would have hoped to see.
I wouldn't even have a cartoon. Because I was looking at people rave about how good this film was, and I knew it wasn't. I knew it wasn't. I was like, listen, guys, how often does it happen that a franchise has been going down fucking hill for this long, and then they finally do one film that breaks away from the design and does it almost gets it all right? That never happens. Because even if this is a breakaway from Michael Bay, it's still the same people at the studios involved with this franchise outside of bringing in Travis Knight.
As far as I'm concerned, you take out the aesthetics, you take out the look of Cybertron, the bad, I mean, you get a really badass Optimus Prime moment at the beginning of the film. You take those little moments out, you take the aesthetics out, the same thing that people complain about with the Michael Bay films, outside of it being too busy with too many humans, is in this film. Like, again, this is still a film that is 80% about human beings. The film is called Bumblebee, but Charlie is the lead character in here. So when, because the lead character doesn't have this fucking memory. So it's like, if this is what you guys want, if this is what you guys think is good, I realize that I'm tapping out. Like, there's no point in me reviewing Transformers films anymore. Because just like the other films, I feel like this is why I have not watched the last. I think the last Transformer film I watched was 3, and this is why I have not watched. I did not watch 4. I did not watch 5. And I was not. If they did not give a screener for this, if I did not go to the screener for this, I was not going to watch this one either. Because I know how this is going to go down. I know it's always going to be too many humans. I'm gonna leave going, there are some nice moments. There's some cool moments. Just like, hey, look, Transformer 3 has that highway scene is fucking fantastic. The rest of the movie, still my
Transformers film,
huh?
I know everybody talks about 1 and Transformers 3. If you check out all the human, if I could just fast forward and do a super cut of just the fight scenes from Transformers 3, that's my favorite Transformers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like if you take all, if you just do a super cut of all the action scenes in this film, you have maybe a 20 minute film, and you're happy.
Yeah.
Right, the rest of the shit, I'm sorry, and there's no again. It's Sam Townfield, she's great. She I love what she does. This film is great. I don't give a fuck about any of it. Anytime she comes on the screen, I'm just like, I do not care about this right now. Can we go back to the Decepticons? Can we go back to flashbacks of Cybertron? You know, can we go back to Dropkick and Shatter? Can Bumblebee get his memory back? Like, can we do something else other than what we're doing right now? Because I literally do not give a shit about this right now. And so,
I mean, if they were going to focus on a human, I would have just preferred that they focused on. I don't have a problem with how many humans are in the movie. I have a problem with which humans are important, and as a result of which ones are important, which way the story went. Like you were saying, I would have been perfectly okay if we would have been dealing with Shatter and Dropkick, fucking with the military. I would have been perfectly content if there had been this whole thing. And not, I can't even say why, because it is a huge spoiler, but like the whole, you know, the whole Rick back and forth between the difference in attitudes between Agent Burns, John Cena, and Agent Powell, John Ortiz. And if they had just done that, I would have been okay with that, because I probably would have cared more, like you were saying. But it wasn't just a matter of, it was too many humans. It was every single time they started to do something cool and they started to do something interesting, one, they would drag out the scenes longer than they needed to be because apparently they thought we'd missed the damn point. And then two, they would turn away from what was interesting about what they were doing. And then they would skip to a different part of the story, and then they would start to do something interesting, and then they would just flinch. It's like every single time the movie needed to get a little dark, or they needed to move away from something that was human driven to something that was, you know, focused more on Bumblebee and to move his character forward, they flinched and they turned away and they go look at something else and they do something else. So Bumblebee is literally in the same place as he was the day he crash landed on Earth at the end of this movie. And that's ridiculous and not possible.
I'm trying to progress that part of it. Like, that wasn't what was important. What was important was
what sucked. But that's what they told me this damn movie was about in the opening sequence. That is why I'm not happy with this movie. The movie is decent. You can go and have fun. There will, you can take a group of people. Y'all all find something to laugh
Your
about.
Your kids will love
At
it.
Least one of you will identify with a song and the soundtrack if you were born anywhere near someone who made you listen to songs in the 80s. But you told me this movie was about him coming to Earth to find and prepare a safe haven for everybody else to join him. You told me this was our new starting point to them coming to Earth. That's not what this movie is.
It's about so E.T.
Next one. You missed it. You missed the memo. That was page two is the rest of the film. Page one was just a synopsis of the whole idea. See, you were looking at the tree. You should have been seeing the
whole. I'm tired of them doing that with movies. I'm tired of them wasting my time on an origin story that only needs to take up 25 to 30 minutes of a fucking movie, and I can have 65 minutes of something else.
An origin story that I've already told you. An origin story you've already seen.
I don't invest that much energy into this shit for the simple fact that they don't care enough about the property to try to make films that stand on their own. That's my gripe. They have yet to make a Transformers film, in my opinion, that stands on its own. And I feel like a lot of that happens with...
You do mean a live-action Transformer film, right?
I don't watch that 80s shit. So I've never seen that 80s film. I was not a Transformers fan as a child.
You should probably watch it. That 80s film, that 80s cartoon is actually... That 80s movie is actually pretty fucking violent. And
hence my point of asking for the clarification.
Yeah, they fuck up each other in this film.
I think I've said this before. I was not, as a child, a fan of Transformers. Was not. Didn't get it. Didn't get what the big fucking deal was. There were robots that changed the cars. I didn't fucking get it. So I didn't watch it as a child, and I didn't like the way it was drawn. So it never pulled my interest.
I understand. I always watched it because I thought it was a warning about our robot overlords to come. So I was a weird kid. So it wasn't so much that I was into Transformers.
That's why I watched Terminator 2. Like,
I watched all of them. I was like, killer robot.
We were both the same kind of weird. with these films, I get everybody's obsession and wanting them to work. I also get that when this shit started, I was in my mid-20s, and I am fucking 33 now. I'm about to be in my mid-30s. And, dude, I just don't have the energy to invest the time or the care in how they do these movies. Because, to me, the reality is, I'll watch Marvel films over and over again. And this is the bar that I'm setting. This film doesn't have, to me, there's no rewatchability quality with it. You take the fight scenes, you take the opening Cybertron scene and all of that stuff, you put it together, cool. But do I want to sit through this long ass film multiple times? No.
It was cute. You don't need to see it again.
And that's the
problem.
It was just cute.
Kids will watch
that. If this film is a fucking bookmark in whatever chapter of the Transformers that the studio is on right now. And as far as it goes, I do not care about this story, and can I return it to Barnes & Noble? Because I'm not interested. It's nothing going on here. The shit doesn't stand on its own. I mean, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to have a very high user rating because the bar is ridiculously low, and that's the game right now. Like, the bar is low. We had a fucking argument, and we'll talk more about later about Aquaman with this, but we had an argument about this idea that Marvel and other studios who make really good films are like extraterrestrial. They're from another planet than the other people making these films. And that's why we have to kind of judge them differently. So whereas if Black Panther had been this film, we would have all been upset with him. But like, why the black film got to be the most terrible?
Stop taking my talking points for Aquaman, please. Stop taking my talking points for Aquaman.
I'm trying to. That wasn't my intention. But yeah, that's all I'm saying is, like, if your thing is, if you say walking out of this film, it's decent, and you look at the fact that it's the sixth film in the fucking series, and they've been doing them since 2007, and you walk out and you go, it's decent? Is it, though? Is that decent? Is that a decent thing? Like, man, this is the seventh sandwich I've brought from this restaurant and fully digested. It's decent.
I didn't shit all over myself, so you know what?
Across the street.
Hey.
Go there. Because they just always be doing too good shit.
And we started saying the bar was really low. And I'm sorry, but it's just a decent, cute movie.
Out of 10, what would you guys give it? Out of 10, what would you guys give it?
I give it a 10. Out of 10, it's a decent.
What number? Give me a number, Brett.
It is a decent number.
Give me a number. I can't put decent.
You can't help yourself.
Right. Bro, you think about it. Bro, what would you give it out of 10?
Maybe a 6.
Giving it a maybe.
5, 6.
Is it a confident 5 or a reluctant?
Okay. It's a halfway point kind of movie. So I think I'm about a reluctant 5.5. Mm-hmm. It's a decent movie. There are going to be people who like it. There are going to be kids who like it. I sat in front of a row of conflicted children who are the age demographic of the movie. So I don't feel like I'm using decent as a pejorative, but the bar was really low. I think they met their bar. So it's an okay movie. It was cute. So yeah, 5.5. I don't need to see it again. I'm going to wait till somebody supercuts all the Cybertron parts into a master mix on YouTube. And that's what I'm going to watch for the rest of my life.
Song? Could you put a song behind that supercut? Will it be long enough?
Yes, actually, I think you could. I mean, as long as they don't pick the damn Smith song from the movie, I'm okay. But it's like, I think they could do a supercut of some of the funny stuff with the music and a supercut with the Cybertron and the action sequences with Shatter and Dropkick and those scenes, because I liked all of that. And I could watch that over again. But the rest of this movie, I have no emotional investment in any of the people in any of the elements of Earth.
It's almost two hours long.
So it's decent.
It's almost 2 hours long. It's way too long.
I'm aware.
But it's,
you know, why do you think I know so much what the kids behind me were saying?
Right. Well, so, Fina, what would your score be?
I gave it a fucking decent, and a decent is halfway between could have been better and...
Okay, a 5. I'm putting you down for a 5. 5.
It is a 5,
okay,
though. Like, that's
okay,
a decent rating.
So why are you making him pull teeth? Why don't you say 5? Right. Bro, man.
Right. As long as he pulls a decent amount of teeth.
I'm saying it's a ham sandwich out of 10. Like, what is that?
But it's a ham sandwich that you realize is actually bologna.
What number is that? What a numerical value is that? I'm giving it 6.5 out of 10 because it's entertaining
strong,
enough. And honestly, it's
it, 5.
To me, it's okay, a 6.5 out of 10. It's the
it's a 5. It's a 5.5 for me. Yeah.
I don't care about the human stuff. It's not bad, but it's again, it's just my whole thing when I left this film was like, I learned nothing. I if you're gonna do a prequel film with Bumblebee. And or it's a reboot or where again, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm triggered because this feels like First Class again, where it's like, is it a reboot? Is it a sequel? Is it a prequel? We don't know. We're not going to really tell you because we're going to take elements from both and then you're going to have to figure the fucking shit out. And I hate that shit. But beyond that, it's also just the idea that, you know, we've been here before. Okay, we have a bumblebee that can't talk. Oh, great. We have a bumblebee that hides in the corner like a little doggy because he's afraid. No, isn't that sad? It's like, no, we just watch him fucking blow somebody the fuck up before. Now all of a sudden he's hiding in the corner like a fucking puppy. What are we doing here? Why am I here?
I got a question.
I'm going to do it again.
So what change sizes more? Bumblebee?
Let's not do this. Let's not do this with Transformers films because it doesn't make any sense. The sizes never make sense.
1 minute he's like 15 meters tall. He's a fucking Attack on Titans Titan. And then the next minute, he somehow fits in her garage.
But again, that these are story beats they did from that first.
Which does not have vaulted ceilings, by the way.
They did that in the first Michael Bay film. We've gone through these. The same thing.
They want the look to be, and we're not supposed to comment on these inconsistencies.
But then again, a T-Rex did fit in an underground bunker this year, so I shouldn't really be questioning the consistency of size.
I'll put it this way. Going forward, I'm giving it 6.5 out of 10. I'm not doing this again. No, guys. I'm not doing this. Even if it's free, I'm not sitting through another one of these fucking films. I only did this one because they gave it to us for free. I said this when we did the last Transformer films. I'm not paying for any more. I'm not going to see any more of this because at this point, it doesn't fucking matter. People are going to make the excuses they're going to make for these films and go see them anyway and pay money for them. I'm out. As far as I'm concerned, they're review proof because what's the point of me reviewing this fucking film that I clearly am not, it's just not made for me. I'll go back to reading the fucking comics and be happy and not have to worry about any of this shit. I don't have kids, so it's not like I'm taking my kids to enjoy the, you know, the feeling of Transformers like I did. So I don't have that fucking connection. So I ain't got to worry about that shit. So I'm out. I'm wiping my hands. I'm out. You guys can have it. Good luck to Travis Knight going forward with these films. You guys can enjoy them if you want. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. It's a waste of my goddamn time.
I mean, you gotta be honest with yourself, though, from this point on, Chris.
That's what I'm saying. That's like, why waste my time? They're not going to put a film that only has one human and they focus all on Transformers. So what's the fucking, that's the film I want. That's not the film they're going to do. So what's the fucking point of me reviewing these films? I say the same thing in every fucking review I do with the Transformers films. So I'm just going to stop. I'm not going anymore. I'm done.
Well, we'll get 5 Avatar films from James Cameron in the next 10 years.
If you think I'm going to any of those.
What I'm saying is we can get
five
Avatar films with all Avatars, but we can't get one whole Transformer film from any of these.
Thank you for bringing that up. Because that's the last thing I want to say. Because people are going to say, they're going to make excuses for why they can't do an all Transformers film. Guys, we've already kind of done it. We've seen that we can do it with the technology. Why? They did Jungle Book. And I don't mean that shit they put on Netflix. I mean the Jungle Book that Disney film did. You had one human character, and you had a bunch of CGI characters, and the film almost made $1 billion. So don't fucking tell me you can't make a Transformers film that has all Transformers and one human. You can do it.
You sound so angry right now.
I am angry because I have been...
It would cost too much to do that. Like $130 million to not work. All of the Marvel films, like these companies are grossing billions and billions of dollars, and they still gave this film $102 million.
Just hit me up. Yo, War of the Planet of the Apes. Literally, the lead character in that film is an ape that is CG. Like all the characters are CG in that film, so it's like
it looks amazing. Movie.
So when people sit there, and I'm trying to get angry now, because I'm saving my anger for the next one we'll talk about. People are making excuses. We can do this. We have the technology. We can build it. Like we can do that shit. We have seen it. And so when you sit there and try to tell me that
long.
it would literally be a minute long of just Transformer shit, and
that would still be more Transformer shit than any other supercut from any other Transformer film.
So when you sit there, when you're sitting there listening to this and going, "Oh, you guys are just being hard," and then you try to come to me with an excuse about why they can't do a Transformer film that's just all Transformers and no fucking humans, you are wrong. We have the evidence to see that we can do that. I am not doing that shit anymore. And if you guys want to watch this shit, because they give you 15 seconds of G1 Transformers, which I told people they're going to do that. I told people they're going to, you know the Cybertron stuff is going to be the beginning of the film. That's going to be it, right? So they did that. I mean, it's basically, you know, I feel like Dennis Green going, they are who we thought they were. I mean, it's just, this is what I told you they were going to do. They did that. If that's your bar, then cool. Have fun doing it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not reviewing this. I'm not wasting 2 hours of my goddamn time for some shit like this. It's just, why? They're not going to give you what you want, so let them sit through it if you want to. I'm just, no. They'll give you shit like, you know, fucking Optimus Prime riding Grimlock or some shit. Anyway, we gotta get
out of here. Okay, stop. Just don't. What are you doing now? Why? Don't put evilness out into the ether.
I'm sorry.
Don't do it.
I'm gonna be transformed using pixels in this one too, guys. Just want to let y'all know that.
Thank you guys very much for listening to the Movie Trailer Review Podcast, guys. We have plenty more stuff to talk about on these reviews. If you guys think this one was going to be lively, you should make sure you first download our Aquaman.
We haven't done Aquaman.
This is me calm. You guys haven't seen me when I do Aquaman. So just stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. Yeah, man, we're going to. And you know what? Merry Christmas too. These are my Merry Christmas gifts to everyone here.
Really,
this,
Chris?
This is me bringing joy to everybody out there listening. Thank you guys very much. It's going to be great. So, till next time, we're out of here. Peace.